Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, what does the Bible say about generational guilt? Are we responsible for the sins of our ancestors? Of course, this question is especially relevant today with all the talk about slavery and reparations. I did talk about racism on a previous show. Today, after quickly doing some review, I did want to key in more, though, on the subject of reparations, not talked about quite as much in that previous show. While discussions about reparations can be complex and far more about our country's history rather than the Bible, nevertheless, we as Christians have biblical truth to stand on regarding what the Bible says about racism and generational guilt. Not only does the Bible condemn both slavery and racism, it also speaks about who is or is not responsible for events of the past. Taking these matters in sequence, the New Testament Bible condemns slavery in three different places. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul makes it clear that slave trading is an evil practice. Now, while he did not encourage a violent revolution, he wanted Christianity to be a peaceful revolution, he was aware of the legal emancipation procedures in ancient Rome and strongly encouraged them. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul speaking to the church, he says, "Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so." But perhaps Paul's most liberating text is found in Galatians chapter 3, where he said that the church would not stand for racial division or class division. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female." Those were the three chief divisions in those days. Men were viewed as superior to women. Jews viewed themselves as superior to Greeks. I said on a previous program that although Jews are the victims of a lot of racism today, in New Testament times, they, and I'm saying this about my own ancestors, they tended to be kind of haughty. Paul is saying that within the walls of the church, we do not recognize a difference between masters or slaves. You are all part of the heritage of Christ now. Racial division is also being challenged here by Paul. Inasmuch as in those days, no love was lost between Jews and Gentiles, there was even more shunning at that time of the Samaritans, viewed as half-breed Israelites by the Jews. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus talking openly to a Samaritan woman. To be talking to a woman openly, and particularly a Samaritan woman, that shows you the boundaries that Jesus was willing to break down and challenge. But whereas the Bible condemns slavery and racism, that does not immediately translate into an acceptance of reparations. The issue of reparations in America is complicated. Some argue that many thousands upon thousands of deaths in the North and South during the Civil War already brought about great wrath and reparation upon the country. Others point to decades of affirmative action as a type of reparation. Further nuance acknowledges a wide diversity of American immigrants over the years. A lot of Americans weren't around before the Civil War. My own grandfathers came here at the top of the 20th century, escaping racism perpetrated against them, the Jewish pogroms of Russia. And of course, it is a fact that many African Americans were born in free states even before the Civil War, dispelling the notion that all white people are descended from slave owners and all black people are descended from slaves. Obviously, America's unique situation is not mentioned specifically in the Bible, but two important principles will at least shed light on part of the discussion. First, people are not responsible for their ancestors' sins. Deuteronomy chapter 24, "Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children for their fathers. Only for his own guilt shall a man be put to death." While the subject here, of course, is capital punishment, the spirit of the sentiment is nevertheless clear. In Ezekiel's day, this remained a familiar teaching. Ezekiel chapter 18, You ask, why does the Son not share the guilt of the Father? Since the Son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep my decrees, he will surely live. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The Son will not share the guilt of the Father, nor will the Father share the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. However, there's another problem with reparations, and this also goes back to the Bible. And ironically, this also goes back to our joint heritage as human beings. Human nature is flawed and sinful. That's true of all of us. Whatever our color, we're flawed, we're sinful, we are all in this together, we are all in need of forgiveness, we are all in need of redemption. Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6, and frankly the entire book of Romans goes into that in great detail. But let me talk about one particular sinful flaw. There's a whole litany of sins that we're all guilty of, but one particular sinful flaw demonstrates time and again that in the face of new power, no amount of power is ever enough. This means that to those who wish to enact change, no amount of change will ever suffice. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Keeping all of these biblical truths in mind and bringing things into the early 21st century, we are left with several questions regarding the matter of reparations. And here's the problem, my friends. Nobody answers these questions consistently. Nobody answers these questions in any way that makes sense. Seldom do any two people give you the same answer to these questions. Here are my questions. I'm sure people have others. Here are my questions about reparations. Simple, obvious questions that anybody is probably thinking of. First, what exactly will be enough? When will we be square? Moving on, what will the day look like when no more talk about reparations is needed? Yes, slavery was a horrible stain on our country, but when will we be able to say we've moved on? The past was terrible, but the present is better, and the future looks good. Slavery has been abolished. Segregation is against the law. Discrimination is against the law. How exactly would reparations be implemented? Who exactly will make the decision regarding who owes whom what and what exactly is owed? What financial figure will be enough? Name an amount. I've heard everything from activists on Talking Head TV shows calling for land redistribution to out-of-control mobs demanding that white people give up their hard-earned homes simply because they are white. How exactly will this be settled? I'm not asking for emotional knee-jerk reactions. I'm asking real questions. How will we determine who receives what? Will it have to be proven that a particular white person had ancestors who were slave owners? Will instead all white people have to give things up simply because they're white and supposedly nothing they ever did that led to prosperity was truly accomplished without it having somehow been built on the backs of our slavery institution that's some 200 years old now or almost 200 years old now? Will middle-income families be taxed so that money can go to all African-American families, even the prosperous ones? Football stars, movie stars, presidents. I love Will Smith as an actor. I'm not sure he needs any extra money. Where will it stop? And what other people groups will be next? You know this will open Pandora's box. There's already an entire organization called La Raza, which believes California, Texas, and other states should be given back to Mexico. Here's one. Try this on for size. My Jewish ancestors were slaves of the Egyptians. Egypt is on the continent of Africa. Do African Americans owe me reparations? Of course not. That's nonsense, right? Yes, it is nonsense. All of it is nonsense. Larry Elder said it best. A great radio talk show host, an African-American radio talk show host, a conservative radio talk show host. Let me share with you Larry Elder's definition of reparations. He says, reparations, money from people who never owned slaves, paid to people who never were slaves. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious with some help from Larry Elder, who made the obvious even more obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/bob.